News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning. I'm Jerry Lademan. Police in St. Augustine are investigating a shooting. Officers say one person was shot about 8:45 Tuesday night in a parking lot near North McMillan Street and North Potts de Leon Boulevard. The man said to be in his 30s, expected to be okay. Detectives are questioning a suspect. The Jacksonville Association of Firefighters stepping in to help the family of one of their own lost at sea last summer. Brian McClooney and a friend vanished during a fishing trip last August off Port Canaveral, and now the firefighters group is sponsoring a benefit fishing tournament starting this weekend out of Mayport and Villano Beach. McClooney's wife says it's just another example of the incredible support she has received over the last few months. The tournament costs $250 per boat and runs through February 19th. There's a top prize of $1,000 for the biggest catch. There's information about the fishing tournament available online. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning at 295 going south, Southside Boulevard. There's been a wreck at 295 south at Hexer, another accident. 10 east at 95, a crash. 95 north at State Road 9B, an accident. And at 10 east at Lane Avenue, you'll see a wreck there. It's now blocking the left lane. A mix of sun and clouds today and a high of 82. This evening, a few clouds. Overnight, the low will drop to 63. Right now, it's 64 here at WBOB. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Politico.com reports Governor Ron DeSantis, who is calling for more money for teacher pay and the Everglades restoration, may face opposition from other Republicans. Last night's Democrats had their final debate before the Iowa caucuses, and the federal debt is now over $23 trillion.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
4 minutes after 7 a.m., it's Wednesday, man. Hey, this is what I tell everybody. When you're Ed Dean, every night is New Year's Eve, every day is Christmas, and every Monday's... No, I'm just kidding with you. Anyway, I always forget the days. It is literally the three fastest hours anywhere in morning talk radio, broadcasting live from the Sachs Media Group here in Tallahassee. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Matt Caldwell's been hanging out. So we got a lot more guests lined up for you. Right here, all the way with you to 9 a.m., this is Talk Radio WBOB. All right, let's continue. Ed Dean again broadcasting live from Tallahassee, Florida with our friends at the Sachs Media Group. Sal Nuzzo has been on with me. How many years have you been? Several years on this radio show.
Yeah, at least four or five.
Sal Nuzzo, and I mean this, I'm not stroking you. I mean this because you keep it going. You know your issues. I don't get any dead air. Sal Nuzzo is the vice president of policy for the James Madison Institute here out of Tallahassee. You travel throughout the state. You travel throughout the country. As you know me for years. I was an economics editor for years. I love the economy. You and I love talking about policy. Yeah, I mean, social issues is great, but you guys focus a lot on the fiscal policy. Tell me an issue that in Tallahassee, as this is the first week now in session, that you, it would be a dream for you for to see them to cover, like, deregulation. I'm loving this. Now, it's good. Maybe at a B+. I like to see it go to an A+. But give me an issue that you would like to see champion, or what is JMI, the James Madison Institute, looking this year to see go forward?
Sure. As I kind of look at it, I think we would kind of see three big issues kind of bubbling up that I would love to see really get across the finish line in a comprehensive way. First off is what you mentioned, occupational deregulation, the idea that folks should have to petition the government for a permission slip in order to get employment or expand a business. The idea that Florida gets a lot of things right on the economy, I mean, if you listen to the State of the State address yesterday, you heard Governor DeSantis's statistic about $16 billion in income migration comes into Florida every single year. We get a lot right. This is one area where Florida struggles. We just have an overly burdensome occupational licensing scheme, one of the worst in the
scheme,
country.
Scheme, I like
yeah,
that
it
word.
Is. It is really a scheme. The second thing is going to be in continuing the push on market-centered, patient-centered healthcare reforms. Speaker Oliva mentioned in his address before the chamber that was going to continue to be his biggest priority as speaker. I'm really intrigued and interested in terms of things like expanding the scope of practice for physician's assistants and nurses.
We're on that one big time. We're with you.
The third one, and this is going to be the question mark, and that's criminal justice policy. The Senate is kind of attacking this from all angles. Senator Rob Bradley, who's chair of the Appropriations Committee,
right.
Senator Jeff Brandis, a few others. It's bipartisan. You have bills coming from a number of
senators. Give the audience, I want to get back to the occupation. Give me a specific to the audience in layman's terms on the issue of criminal justice you guys are looking at.
Sure. The idea of allowing a judge under certain conditions to depart from one of these onerous mandatory minimum laws that are trapping drug addicts in as drug traffickers. You've had cases where an individual takes a half-filled prescription bottle from their parents, gets caught with it, and is sentenced as a drug trafficker with a mandatory minimum of 7 or 10 or 12 years.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm all, you know, I've told people when in, you know, even up to 10 years ago as a reporter, I would do ride-alongs with the cop, always in the front seat, not the back seat. And the cops, and these weren't just a bunch of cops that were lazy. They do a background check. Okay, you got a couple ounces of marijuana. We're just give you a citation or whatever. And some people think that's the way to go. But you got a lot of sheriffs.
Yep.
The sheriffs seem to be in opposition,
yep.
and they seem to be, well, if you let them, if you give them a little bit here, they'll take a little bit more there. Is that probably the biggest opposition to criminal justice reform?
There are two groups that we've been trying to work with more over the last couple of years. One is the sheriff and
right.
Sheriff's Association. One is the prosecutors group. And they come at it from their experience, from their history, from their perspectives, and that is...
Hold on, wait, back up. The prosecutors, you would think, unless it's hardcore criminals, don't want to clog up the jail system, but they're not for a lot of this criminal justice reform, or some of them are?
So it's, you'd have to ask them individually, but one of the things we keep hearing oftentimes is that they need the idea of being able to charge someone with a trafficking offense that carries a mandatory minimum in order to elicit a plea to a lesser charge. And that helps kind of get the wheels rolling and helps them close out cases. I just tend to disagree. The research shows that when states, especially conservative states, have either kind of repealed their mandatory minimums altogether or gone with what we call a judicial safety valve, which allows judges to depart from the mandatory minimum, their crime rates have dropped, their incarceration rates have dropped, and they're able to reinvest those dollars, which is really the big issue facing Florida's correctional system. We have a major need to reinvest funds to, to pay correctional officers more, to get them more training. And we're unable to do that because we incarcerate more per capita than any other state.
Wow.
And the United States incarcerates more than any other country.
Sal Nuzzo is the vice president of policy with the James Madison Institute. I want to get back to that. I'll get back to deregulation.
Sure.
Why is it in the old days? I mean, we're all here still in our 30s. And why is...
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Why is it that if you get caught with some... okay, you got your pay. You're in your daddy's, mom's, finding out some of their drugs. What you get caught with it? I mean, whatever. Unless you're a known trafficker, all right. You didn't work for. You're not your local Pablo Escobar, or you get some guy or gal who gets a little bit on the system. In the old days, we used to work it out of them. They either go to a rehab or they would work on cleaning up, do environmental cleaning on the beach or something. Why don't we ever go back to those things? That would save a lot of money and nobody get incarcerated.
Potentially. This all evolved out of a series of first federal and then state laws that got enacted in the early and mid-90s. I mean, it's not far back that we can remember kind of the influx of really dangerous drugs kind of being imported from all over the world. And so the 90s saw, especially the 94 crime bill and a few others, that kind of trickled down to the states and created this kind of system of mandatory minimums for drug laws or for drug sentencing that were overly, in my opinion, overly aggressive. And so you had thresholds that would trigger a trafficking offense set incredibly low. Now, the legislature has actually done some great work in kind of increasing those thresholds so that if you had 7 pills of hydrocodone, you could be charged as a trafficker. They've increased that over the years. It's still fairly low in comparison to other states, but our position is let's let judges do what we put them on the bench to do.
That's a good point. I get that.
Let them judge. Let them look at the totality of the circumstances of a case and say to somebody, yeah, you are a trafficker. It's your, you know, fifth or sixth offense. Or you're an addict and you need help.
Let's go back. Sure. One of the things I love about this idea is, as years as an economics reporter, is covering the deregulation of the economy. Now, the governor comes back and says, because I'm the first one to admit, you know, my background is, I mean, I got all my licenses in financial because I was covering this. There is less in the state of Florida regulation dealing with your money, which to me is very important. You got to go to a barber school? I mean, wait a second. My hair versus my back pocket is night and day. The governor says, hey, do we really need all – I think it's a great start. Do we need all these really extra hours for all this? I think it's a great point he brings up. You even went a little further. I think a lot of people may agree with you. Why do I need a government permission slip in order to have – you know, start up a business in my garage? Give me an area, one or two for the audience, where you think maybe – I got about less than two, but tell me where you think we don't need – maybe a certain governmental licenses, occupational licenses.
Sure. One that's unique to Florida, commercial interior designing. We're one of only three states license commercial interior designers. And it's just a completely unnecessary license. However, if you were to listen to the trade association that represents commercial interior designers, they would argue that if you do away with the license, people will die. And the reason that they cite is that people will be putting up curtains that are flammable and houses will catch fire and buildings will tumble and whatnot. 47 other states have not experienced this this dilemma. And so that's one of them. If I remember correctly, it's over 1,700 hours of training and certification to become an interior designer. Now, let's put this into context.
Real quick, I got less than a minute. Go ahead.
40 hours to become a private pilot.
Interesting.
Yeah, so 40 hours to take your friends up in a plane, 1,700 hours if you want to tell them in their office where to put the couches.
Interior decorating design. Sal Nuzzo, I could have you on for another hour. I know you came in for a few, and I'm glad you made the time coming in here. Sal Nuzzo is the, the executive, but anyway, I'm messing with you. Yeah. Sal Nuzzo is the vice president of policy for the James Madison Institute. Give everybody quick the website.
JamesMadison.org, and if I could do a shameless plug, our annual dinner is on February 19th. Kim Strassel from Wall Street Journal is going to be there.
She's one of my favorites. All right. More on the other side. Ed Dean broadcasting live from Tallahassee, Florida. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
At I-295 South on the ramp to Southside Boulevard, there's been an accident there, and we're counting at least three cars involved. 295 South at Heckscher, another crash. If you're at I-95 going north, look out for an accident there right around State Road 9B and 10 East at 95. An accident as you make your way into the I-10, I-95 merger.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. With Christmas behind us and 2020 here, the last thing you want to hear is somebody trying to sell you something. That's why at Underwoods, we like to stop and just say thank you to all the people that came in our stores over the last year. Whether you bought from us or not, we want to thank you for stopping by and giving us the chance to help. Here on the First Coast, there are a lot of folks trying to sell you diamonds and jewelry, but at Underwoods, we look at it differently because we consider it an honor for somebody to come in and just give us that chance to help, because if we do our job the right way, we might get a chance to serve again. Having served North Florida since 1928, all of us here understand what a customer really gives us during that visit to Underwoods, their trust. And it's up to us to do everything we can to keep it. So on behalf of everybody on the Underwood team, thank you again for coming into our stores. And we wish each of you a Happy New Year.
SNC Square Roofing. Everything you should expect from a roofing contractor and more. Hey, it's John Vitas, the voiceover guy. SNC Square Roofing replaced my roof, and I'm here to tell you, my wife and I were amazed at their quality of work and how well they kept the job site so clean. SNC Square Roofing, from the estimate to the last shingle, you can count on a job well done. SNC Square is a certified, CertainTeed shingle master applicator. Give my roofer a call today. SNC Square LLC, roofing with integrity. Call 524-8621. That's 524-8621.
Today we will see a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 82. This evening a few clouds. 63 will be the overnight low. Right now it's 64 here at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Last night, Democrats had their final debate before the Iowa caucus. The federal debt is now over $23 trillion. And the Trump administration is looking to where to shift billions from the military to build the border wall.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
17 minutes after 7 a.m. Good morning. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. We're broadcasting. You can keep it up if you want for a few moments. I got to wait on Matt to come back in. We're broadcasting live from Tallahassee, Florida, from the Sachs Media Group, one of our partners. Roger, this is a great setup over here. And Roger was actually going to join me this week, but I know he had other things that he had to get done. But anyway, we'll be back live in the studios coming up on Friday. Hey, Roger, by the way, everybody's been asking about you. Jimmy Patronis.
Oh, really?
The state CFO is going to be joining us here in a few moments.
Great. Jimmy P. in the building.
Jimmy P. in the building. Let's go with, Roger, let's go with clip number five. Let's go with clip number three. For those of you just tuning in, we got a lot of guests lined up for you. One of the biggest things out there, as you know, Governor Ron DeSantis, hey, Matt, go ahead and sit right over there, brother. By the way, Matt Caldwell, former state rep, who is now a news talk radio analyst here in the state of Florida, especially on a lot of these South Florida stations, he is joining us as well. Governor Ron DeSantis, as you know, we're broadcasting live for the first week in Tallahassee. Roger, this session that's coming up is about the environment and about Everglades funding, but also the Florida Senate Republicans. This is not the Democrats. This is the Republicans. This past week passed a big-time gun control bill that would require almost a gun registry when it comes to private-to-private sales. This is a WTSP, clip number three.
Florida versus the NRA, the nation's top gun lobby, not happy with state lawmakers who are taking a big step toward closing the so-called gun show loophole.
Bill, which was passed out of a Republican-led Senate committee today. So what is this all about? Well, there are really two main points on gun sales here. The first, fairly straightforward. This bill would require background checks for private sales in public places, i.e. gun shows, right? But the second point, that seems to be more the sticking point for the NRA here. This bill also creates new requirements for private person-to-person gun sales. A seller would have to check a buyer's ID, have the buyer fill out a form recording the sale. That form would have a list of questions for the buyer, like, are they a felon? The form would have to be notarized, and then it's recommended the seller hold on to that form for the unforeseeable future. Though the NRA argues that is an awful lot of red tape. But it still does not include a background check for those private sales supporters, we'll say. And in that regard, still doesn't go nearly far enough.
Roger, that again was WTSP. Listen to clip number four. This is from the NRA. This is where they oppose this bill. Here's Marion Hammer, clip number four.
This bill is nothing less than gun control on steroids. It appears to be an actual attempt to ban private sales through red tape and fear.
You know, Matt Caldwell, who's in the studios with us. Matt, this is interesting. This pro-gun bill, let's go back. I want to address this in a second. The looks like the gun amendment that was going to make all these guns illegal, I don't think it's going to make it on the 2020 ballot. This was going to create a gun registry. And if you didn't do it, you would be breaking the law. All of these Republicans were against it. And Matt, you served in the state house. The Republicans in the Florida State Senate, not the Democrats, the Republicans are promoting a bill. Would you not would sit back and say it does create a registry? Yes or no?
Well, it's going to have to create something. And that's really, you know, there's two issues here. One is what are we really trying to chase down as a problem, potentially? You're talking about private sales between individuals. It's a very small part of the market. There's no evidence that that's, if there is a problem, that that's even where there's a problem to be focused on. You know, the basic problem is criminals are criminals, and criminals are going to break the law. It doesn't matter what you pass. All you're really doing is making it harder for law-abiding citizens. But the bill itself, it's just a mess. How are you going to record the sale? There's no clear chain of title that you're able to go back and say, yeah, I did sell this to the person.
Right.
It, it, you know, if you were really wanting to achieve something here, like right now, any of us wants to buy a firearm online, the law in Florida is that it gets shipped to a gun dealer here in the state.
And you, does it put them out of business?
Well, no. You go to the gun dealer's store, and they process the background check there,
right,
and you pick it up. If that's really what you want to do, then just say private sales got to go to the gun dealer and process a background check. How hard is that,
yeah,
versus this nonsense? This bill is just complicated, ridiculously so.
904-831-0600. 904-831-0600. Roger, let me bring you into this conversation.
All right.
You heard what Matt said, that you heard the clip from WTSP on this Florida bill, again, passed by Republicans. Hold on real quick. Matt, you say this is going nowhere.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get any kind of traction. There's not going to be any kind of traction in the House for this bill.
Okay, so, Roger, one of the things we talk about, for example, let's say like Facebook, Roger always brings up, hey, you know, don't be whining and complain that your post got deleted. To me, it's the privacy issue, right, Roger?
Absolutely. You know, people have no idea that when you install these apps on your smartphone, you have, you know, didn't
right.
read the fine print of 50 pages worth of terms of agreement, that they're actually following you on everything you're doing on your phone and keeping a record of you.
Right, Roger. So this is where I'm going with this. The private-to-private sales, according to this clip and to the bill, Matt, this means, let's see, Roger sells me one of his AKs. Okay.
Just one of them.
So he likes that. So Roger's telling me, Roger is keeping a record of my own personal identification. Roger, you're a big individual when it comes to that privacy issue.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, would send up red flags.
Well, that's one thing. You know, that was something that I was actually involved with. And obviously, if I sold you one of my guns, I'm going to know we sold it. But if I have to, you know, as a condition of purchasing your gun, have to put a webcam in your house and watch everything you do and, you know, have a schedule of when you eat, when you use the bathroom, and when you wake up in the morning, every TV
right.
show you watch, that's an entirely different thing.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, would you, Roger, by the way, do you have any more breaks lined up for
us?
We
have one more 2-minute break.
Okay, here's the thing. Let me ask Matt Caldwell this. You have covered this issue on when you do a lot of analyst analysis on talk radio. Can you explain to me, they say, well, we want to close this gun show loophole. Can you explain what this, if some people go, I keep hearing this, I have a lot of those that own gun stores will call me up and email me going, Ed, this is a red herring, this is a Bigfoot boogeyman tactic. What do these guys mean and gals when they say the gun show loophole we need to close?
Yeah, it's just another con job on the people of Florida and America. If you're a registered gun dealer, whether you're selling a gun at your store or you go to a gun show and set up a table, you've got to abide by the law, which is running a background check,
right,
doing the process that all of us have gone through if we bought one at the store. They got to do the same thing at the gun show. The only thing that happens at a gun show for the loophole, and I'm using my air quotes here, is if you and I meet each other. You know, I'm
you mean
there,
outside?
Yeah, well, there or inside the booth, and I'm looking at the tables, and you're like, hey, man, that's a great gun. Let's start talking. And it's a private sale. Private sale, same as if we did it on Craigslist.
Wait. No, this would not be done inside where they have to get, like, a license or permission. We're talking outside, right?
Well, yeah, but you probably meet at their, you know, walking
okay, but,
up and
but
out
how there. Does this have to do with a gun show?
Well, because that's where gun owners come. So they,
oh,
that's a
my
spot
word.
For them to get to know each other, yeah. Yeah.
That would be saying, like, well, we need to close the church parking lot loophole because somebody wants to sell drugs in the front of the church, but the church got nothing to do with it.
No, exactly.
25 minutes after 7 a.m., 831. I'm glad you explained it. 831-0600. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're at 295 South at Southside Boulevard, there's been a wreck there. Several cars are involved. 295 South at Hexer, another crash. 95 North at 9B, a wreck. And if you're at I-10 East at Lane Avenue, there's a bad crash there. Emergency responders are on the scene. It's all on the left side of the highway.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
25 years has seen a lot of changes, but one thing hasn't changed. The quality of CopyFax, a family-owned business taking pride in their service and products. Back up all of your business files easily with CopyFax. Full color is the same low cost as black ink. CopyFax is ideal for anything from in-home office to corporate multi-user. CopyFax is proud to serve our local military. Visit CopyFax.com. That's CopyFax.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
For limited time, go to MyPillow.com. When you buy a set of Giza Sheets, Mike will give you a set of Giza Sheets for free when you use promo code WBOB or call 800-950-9024 and give them promo code WBOB for this fantastic offer.
A mix of sun and clouds and warm weather, high 82. This evening, a few clouds, 63. Will be tonight's low. Right now, 64 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB.
All right, squeezing a couple quick phone calls. Who do you want to go with, Roger?
Woody's on line one. Let's go to Woody. Hey, Woody.
Hey, Woody, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, good, brother.
Hey, I want to correct something was said about gun shows. As a private seller, I can rent a booth at a gun show, and I can go in and privately sell my guns inside that gun show. And I don't have to do background investigations. It's just like a private sale outside.
Really? I did not know that.
Yes, that is a fact. You'll see, guys, you see it all the time, guys. They got a big sign up that says private sale. And
really?
That's where people flock to, yes. Because, be honest with you, there's already a semi, a quasi gun registry now. Because every time you get a background check, they put the serial number of the gun you're buying in that paperwork. It goes to the feds. And then the gun store that sells you the gun, they have to keep a record of that transaction forever.
Hey, Woody, do you think there should be background check required if you're at a gun show and you're selling a gun, an instant background check? Did I lose him,
Roger? No, I don't think the background checks solve anything. All right. But I think criminals are criminals, just like he said.
All right.
They're going to
Woody,
do what
I got to go,
want.
Man. I appreciate the call. I like the instant background check. I think if you're at a gun show, you should have it. Because you know why? The left is looking to nail everybody on this. And believe me, they would try this in a heartbeat to buy one of these there. So 831-0600, 904, 831-0600. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. President Trump rallied supporters Tuesday night by defending his decision to kill a top Iranian general. During a campaign rally in Milwaukee, the president also touted the vast improvement of the economy under his administration. Iran's president is warning European soldiers deployed in the Mideast may be in danger after Britain, France, and Germany challenged Tehran over breaking limits of its 2015 nuclear deal. It marks the first time Hassan Rouhani has threatened Europe amid tensions with the U.S. The House is preparing to vote to send articles of impeachment against President Trump to the Senate for a landmark trial on whether the charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress are grounds for removal. The U.S. and China are expected to sign the first phase of a trade agreement today. The easing of some sanctions on China and Beijing is expected to step up purchases of U.S. goods. More details at SRNNews.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner. See
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Lederman. An emergency landing for a military chopper in Clay County. The sheriff's office says the helicopter had a mechanical issue and had to set down at the Middlebrook Elementary School around 7:30 Tuesday night. No one was injured. Reports say another helicopter showed up around 11 p.m., apparently to pick up the crew from the copter that made the landing. The military is not commenting. A project to transform a parking lot near TIAA Bank Field is moving forward and could have shovels in the ground in weeks. Jaguars President Mark Lampling says the team and the city are on the verge of a deal that would turn Lot J into a neighborhood with homes, a hotel, businesses, and an office building, and entertainment venues as well. It won't be cheap, with an estimated cost of about $700 million, of which the city would kick in more than $200 million. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
295 South at Southside Boulevard, there's been a wreck. We're counting at least three cars involved. I-95 North at State Road 9B, there's an accident on the right. And I-10 East at Lane Avenue, headed toward downtown. A bad crash there, numerous cars, police, ambulance, and a wrecker now on the scene. The left lane is blocked. A mix of sun and clouds today and a high of 82 this evening. A few clouds with a low of 63. Right now, it's 64 at WBOB. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The federal debt is now over $23 trillion. The Trump administration is looking to where to shift billions from military funding to build the border wall. And Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry says he welcomes an investigation from the feds looking into the negotiations for the sale of JEA.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600. 831-0600 or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
7:33. Good morning. We're broadcasting live here in Tallahassee, Florida. It's the first week of session. We do this every year, but we're doing it for almost a full week out of the Sachs Media Group. And we have been partnering up with them for some time, and it's great to be in their studios again here at the Sachs Media Group here in Tallahassee. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, the state CFO, Jimmy Patronis is going to join us. A lot more guests lined up for you. Matt Caldwell, many of you know, ran for agriculture commissioner last year, who's a former state rep, now is a talk radio analyst on a bunch of other stations down in South Florida. So he's hanging out with us today. 831-0600-904-831-0600. This is Talk Radio WBOB. All right, let's continue on with the news. Roger, let's go to clip number two. The Democrats had their big-time presidential debate that came out Tuesday evening. Now, this is the last one, Matt, they had before the Iowa caucus. And again, all of these debates, by the way, whatever happened to reparations, by the way? I was love covering that issue. It's who can spend more. It's Christmas 24-7. Now it's Elizabeth Warren has come out and said, I am just going to cancel everybody's student loan debt. I want to have a wealth tax, but if not, I want to cancel the 42 million Americans out there of $1.6 trillion debt. Roger, play clip number two. This was discussed. Rick Newman from Yahoo Finance says, this is not going to take place. This is nothing more than pandering. Clip number two.
Elizabeth Warren's trying to change the narrative away from that fight, right? She says she's going to bypass Congress to cancel student loans for 42 million Americans if elected president.
I take this as blatant pandering, and here's why. This is not a new plan. She announced this plan last year. It's her debt forgiveness plan for college debt up to $50,000. So it's not for everybody. It's for most people. It would be really expensive, about $125 billion per year. So if she's going to go ahead and do this without any authorization from Congress, where's the money going to come from? And then I guess it would just push the deficit up, and we'd have to borrow, or she'd go to Congress and say, now that I've created this expenditure, you have to pass a wealth tax, which is how she wants to pay for this.
Okay. Why can't we just have a simple conversation? I'm not saying you got to agree with the Republicans and the Democrats. The debate on how you plan to pay for this, even if you wanted to jack up all the billionaires. By the way, she says no millionaires. Well, she can't prove that. You're going to have to hit millionaires. You're going to have to hit everybody for all the spending plans she wants. All I'm just saying is why can't the Democrats at least come to admit that you're going to have to find other ways to jack up taxes in order to at least pay for her student loan debt?
Yeah, I mean, look, at this point, I don't know why they're running from it. She's advocating to become a socialist country. Just own it. When you go out and say you're going to, with a stroke of a pen, get rid of $1 billion in debt with no plan to pay for it, that is the action of a banana republic, of a socialist dictator. That's exactly what she's
about. But talk about the merits of this. I mean, to me, I find this as a fascinating debate, but where should this debate go?
Well, it's really going to come down to, where does the money come from? And a lot of what people forget is Obama, when he was president, took over the student loan market in order to pay for Obamacare. So not only do you need to come up with this money just to balance the Treasury, but it's going to undermine the Obamacare system, the part of it that is providing indigent care out there across the country.
Roger, let's go to clip number eight. Tucker Carlson from Tucker Carlson Tonight says the only winners in this whole industry are universities and the governments. He goes, if the universities are going to out there and betray that their college degrees are the ones that they should go with, let's say it's at FSU or UF, clip number eight says that maybe then the colleges should help co-sign those student loans. Clip number eight, Roger.
Pass a law forcing colleges to share the liability on defaulted student loans. Have colleges co-sign the loans? And why shouldn't they? If you and I enter into a partnership in business and we succeed, we share the rewards. But we also share the risk. If we fail, we're both on the hook for that. That's how honest arrangements work. College loans don't work that way. Colleges get rich no matter what happens to the kids. Kids are on their own. If students get a degree and a decent job and repay their loans, that's great. But if they drop out of college or their degrees turn out to be worthless, as so many are, and they can't repay what they have borrowed, so what? The college doesn't care. They've got no stake in the outcome. Colleges get all of the benefit and none of the risk. That is the definition of a scam. It's amazing.
All right, Roger. So, Roger, let me go with you, and then I'm going to go with Matt here.
Okay.
If you want to debate this issue, if it's not going to go anywhere, if we're going to get, I mean, we're going to continue to increase student tuition out there. If the colleges aren't going to lower their costs, then maybe, as we say, we should just expand it a little bit more, Roger, and make it more applicable and applicable for four-year colleges, maybe to local universities.
Hey, I've got a better idea than even that. Instead of having the colleges co-sign for the loan from the bank, many of these colleges have such large endowment funds, they could operate their own student loan business from the endowment money and require the students to pay it back there, and they default, it all remains in-house.
Let me ask an interesting question. Matt, when you were in the State House as a chairman of some of these committees, these universities would come, I mean, Roger and I have covered this for so many years. Roger just pointed out they got millions into the billions. They've got alumni. They've got these booster clubs. They're not hurting for money. I mean, so my question is that when these colleges come in and go, hey, we need another 10, 15% student tuition hike. Did anybody just ever ask them, okay, if you have all this money coming in, why do you need all this extra money coming from the state and fed government?
Well, yeah. I mean, Elizabeth Warren's issue is all about federal student loan debt. But in Florida, when Rick Scott was governor and its policies being continued by Governor DeSantis, they cracked down on the universities here in Florida, putting in metrics, you know, how quickly are your students graduating? Are they sticking around for 6 and 8 years and going in debt? Or, you know, are they able to get out of there in 4 years with a smaller debt and ability to get a job?
Did the universities or colleges, what was their reasoning that they needed tuition hike increases?
Well, it's always, you know, to pay for more things. And the Governor Scott and DeSantis, again, has continued this, basically froze the tuition. So when you look at the national rankings, one of the reasons our university system, UF, FSU, and USF particularly, keep moving up the list to the top 20 and the top 10, it's not just the quality of the education, but we keep winning points because we're cheaper, you get less debt, and you graduate on time.
Political.com has an article out to this week that says that Governor Ron DeSantis has moved to spend more money for teacher pay and for Everglades restoration out there, that it may face stiff opposition from the House and Senate Republicans out there. So, Roger, here we go on this one. You know, we have the Everglades Foundation that comes on this radio show. I think they do, compared to the rest of these guys are class A when you look at the Audubon Society and the Sierra Club and all these other guys. But when it comes to the Everglades and teacher pay, as Roger has pointed out, Roger is exactly correct, that if you take away the name Ron DeSantis and Republican, and you put in a Democrat like Andrew Gillum, am I right or wrong, the teachers unions would be applauding this move.
Absolutely. In fact, the pay hikes that Ron DeSantis has called for are almost exactly the same as the ones that Andrew Gillum was saying he wanted to roll out back during his campaign that he was unsuccessful at winning. And the teachers unions back then applauded Gillum for proposing that. Now Ron DeSantis is doing it, and they're protesting into the tens of thousands. It makes no sense.
Hey, tell me this. On the education point, Matt, when you look at this, and something was just hitting me, is there going to be a compromise on this issue? Should we not leave it to the local school municipalities to determine what they should be paying their teachers?
Well, that's a real challenge, because what we've seen in the cost of K-12 education, costs have gone on up and up and up, and yet teachers aren't seeing that in their paychecks. That's why this has become an issue. That's why they're protesting. It's all going into the black hole of bureaucracy. You've got administrative costs that are through the roof. You've got spending on pet projects, construction projects that don't have anything to do with kids in the classroom. That's why the proposal from the governor is to raise the base pay, the starting salary of a year one teacher, so that this money has to go to the teacher pay.
What about current teachers?
Well, current teachers should see if they have a step-up contract, or if their multi-year contract is based on what the base pay is, theirs should go up potentially as well.
Roger, real quick, I want to go to you, then go to Matt. Merit base pay performance. Good idea or bad idea, Raj?
I don't know if that should be the sum total of increases, because there's a lot that goes on in the home or doesn't go on in the home that has an outcome and a major outcome on student achievement. You know, you even ask the teachers, you know, which students in your classroom do the best, and they'll use the phrase parental involvement. There are things that the teacher cannot control, and to index,
I think Roger's got a good point.
To index their salary based upon things they can't control probably isn't fair.
Right. You know, Matt, but here's because I know you got to get going. I got about a minute or so left. Merit-based pay. In other words, if you got a classroom, I'm giving a hypothetical, 30 kids, how many do you have to pass in order for you to get that bonus?
Well, you absolutely need to be able to prove that you're a good teacher. Now, not having permanent tenure, so having annual contracts, that's a good way to do merit-based employment. Look, the job is harder. My wife's a teacher in elementary school. She sees these challenges. That's the job. You get kids that struggle with parental involvement, that struggle with home life issues. We saw that as lawmakers. The two things that predict whether or not you're going to end up in prison basically are, do you or do you not have a dad in the home? Mm-hmm. And did you or did you not graduate high school? If you don't have those two things, that's probably why you're in prison.
Matt Caudill's been hanging out with us. I know you got to run. And you're going to come back on with us again. Who does? And you got some other radio shows you got to do. Hey, it's good to see you on today.
Always.
I had a great. It was a quick 2 hours, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
It was real quick. So we've got a lot more coming up next. A lot more guests. The state CFO Jamie Patronis is going to come in live with us as we're broadcasting live from Tallahassee, Florida, at the Sachs Media Group, and we're going to be doing this all the way through the week out there. We got a lot more guests. Matt, good to see you.
Always.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. More coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
I-95 North State Road 9B, a crash there now on the right shoulder. I-10 East at Lane Avenue. There's an accident with several cars. Police and rescue units have arrived and have taken some of the people to the hospital. And 295 South on the ramp to Merrill Road, there's been a wreck.
The Everglades, previously stretching from Kissimmee to the Florida Keys, home to thousands of species of plants and animals, and an ecosystem found nowhere else on Earth, is half its original size and starved of water. To learn more and to help restore America's Everglades, visit EvergladesFoundation.org. That's EvergladesFoundation.org.
Do you want to offer insurance to your employees but think it's too expensive? Florida Care Insurance is here to tell you that employee benefits can be much more affordable than you realize. If you can afford to give your employee a $2 raise, then you can afford employee benefits that will make you more competitive and help acquire and maintain quality employees. Let us help you invest in your company. Go to groupbenefits.solutions or call 265-4753. No matter the company size, they can help. Call 265-4753 for your employee benefit solution.
Tax problems can be extremely stressful and cause financial devastation. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville to be your personal advocate and resolve your IRS or state sales tax issues. J. David Tax Law focuses on your needs and case outcomes. Don't be fooled by out-of-town tax companies that focus only on signing you up without even working with an attorney. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. If you have federal or state sales tax debt, payroll taxes, bank levies, wage garnishments, tax liens, or unfiled returns, have a sit-down with J. David Tax Law and get the help you need. Never trust your tax situation to anyone you can't walk in and look in the eye. Call J. David Tax Law for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away.
Today, we'll see a mix of sun and clouds and another record high day. Today, a high of 82. This evening, clouds 63. The low right now at 64 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry says he welcomes an investigation from the feds looking into the negotiations for the sale of JEA. Political.com reports Governor Ron DeSantis, who is calling for more money for teacher pay and the Everglades restoration, may face opposition from other Republicans. And last night, Democrats had their final debate before the Iowa caucus.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Don't forget, coming up later in the morning, the state CFO, Jimmy Patronis, is going to join us. And Scott Dudley from the League of Cities. Wow, local control versus state control, always a hot issue. 747, we're broadcasting live from Tallahassee, Florida, at the Sachs Media Group, here on our Newsmaker line. The Assistant Director of Airport Affairs. What is that? More out of the Orlando area, right?
That's correct.
Luis Oliveira.
That's correct.
Did I get it right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, just want to make sure. So, airports, put the mic. This a lot has to do with funding. If I'm not mistaken, this is under a lot under infrastructure, is it not?
Oh, it's absolutely does. It works for infrastructure.
Howard, I've heard people that will call on this radio show, people with the airports community, saying, "Listen, we think that we can bring in more money without tax." There's both sides, and I get it, that we should tax more or we can charge more through luggage, where that way more money can come within. I mean, where are we on this issue of infrastructure in the airports?
So here's what happens. The way airports are funded basically is it's a little bit of a complicated formula, but on this particular issue, which is the aviation fuel tax, this particular tax takes it's right now it's 4.27 cents per gallon, and that money goes directly into a fund that goes specifically for airport infrastructure projects. It doesn't go into a general fund. It doesn't go into anything else. So what the state does with that money, they can actually match federal dollars, particularly for the smaller airports that don't have as much money, and then that gives them a way of being able to complete their infrastructure projects, which, by the way, creates local jobs in local communities.
So this is an interesting on the optics of this idea. For those of you out there listening here, the airlines are pushing legislation that would eliminate the aviation fuel tax, which you just mentioned. The Florida Airports Council opposes the legislation. What is this issue about?
This issue is about airlines not wanting to pay their share to have infrastructure projects done. They claim that if they were to not pay the tax, that they would bring more flights in, which is totally not true. Airlines fly where there is demand. I'll give you a perfect example. Delaware, it does not have an aviation fuel tax. Delaware is the only state in the nation that does not have commercial service. Wilmington Airport, which is in Delaware, is 22 miles south of Philadelphia. Philadelphia has an aviation fuel tax. Yesterday, the folks from the carriers were saying that, oh, they will tanker, meaning that they would bring fuel from another state here so they don't have to fuel up and then go back to whatever state they are. By that logic, Wilmington Airport should be a bustling airport because there is no aviation fuel tax. Yes, there is no service there because there is no demand.
Now, I sit back as someone who was an economics reporter for years that, again, and by the way, Luis Oliveira here, he is also the vice chair of the Florida Airports Council. So if you get rid of the fuel tax, and I'm not a big fan of all these taxes and tax increases, I think infrastructure, when you look at it, can be paid through other areas. But let's keep the status quo. My question to the airlines then, if you eliminate this fuel tax, and what ideas have they come up with to pay for infrastructure, which they also have to use as well?
They have not.
Oh, so just just eliminate it, but they're also using the infrastructure as well.
Absolutely, and they have not. They just, to them, it's all about the bottom line, and they just don't want to pay. They make the point that if they weren't to pay that, they would bring more flights. That they look at states that whether they have it or not, how they make their plans to fly into states.
So at least if they came up with an alternative plan, at least it's have a conversation, right? You're saying they don't even have any type of conversation about that whatsoever.
They do not.
Wow.
They do not. You know, and here they are with their baggage fees. Last year alone, they made over $5 billion in baggage fees.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, they don't, and by the way, you and I pay 42 cents a gallon for gasoline for our cars.
Right.
And here they are paying less, almost one-tenth of that. And they think that's still too much.
Where are we going? What have you heard? Are we see so much stuff going up in Congress. I mean, everybody wants to focus on impeachment, Ukraine. Give me a break. Are we going to have an infrastructure plan before the election, or is this going to have to be rolled over who may ever become president next time?
Well, on the federal side, we certainly hope so. But
I mean, hold on, not to interrupt you. If we had to use a football analysis or a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the touchdown, where are we right now? Are we at the 50-yard line, or are we at the 40-yard line? Where are we right now, at least maybe getting near an infrastructure bill? Whether you may like the measures of it or not, where are we at least right now?
Well, if you want to use a football analogy, I would say that they punted and they just got the ball, so now we're going to start driving the ball.
So you're at the 20-yard line. So
yes.
We got a long ways to go.
We do, but at least the ball is on the field.
You guys oppose going to get rid of the aviation fuel tax. Is this mostly all done by federal, state? Is this all combined locally as well?
No, this particular tax is imposed by the state of Florida. And by the way, 2 years ago, we agreed to a 38% reduction of the tax. Yes, we did. We went along with it, and that took effect 6 months ago in July. So we don't even know what the full fiscal impact is on the trust fund, and yet they want to do away with it.
So no, that's good. People like to hear that, saying, hey, wait, here's an entity that actually reduced the taxes. That's brag-worthy out there. I don't remember, and I covered a lot on this. Well, I don't remember many people covering that.
It was during the 2018 session, and it went into effect July of 2019.
Where is this going in session with the state of Florida? What do you think is going to happen?
We don't know. We certainly hope that it does not get eliminated. We're going to let our legislators know that we're It's almost like a user fee, because really it goes straight back into infrastructure projects. So we're going to do everything and anything that we can to let them know how important it is, to let people know how important that is, because this pays for infrastructure projects, which benefits the airlines, benefits the communities, and creates local jobs in local communities.
Well, there you go. Luis Oliveira, he is the, you got a lot of titles, Assistant Director of the Airport Affairs with the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority, also the Vice Chair of the Florida Airports Council. I will tell you this. When you talk about taxes, you got one group that says we want to eliminate. You got one group that says, hey, man, we're all for reducing the cost, user fees. This does become a very interesting issue among consumers out there.
It does. It does. But this is not a pass-through to consumers. This is actually paid by the airlines for fuel. And by the way, it literally, you're talking about on a Boeing 737, which is about the average aircraft that flies into the state, we're talking about $42, less than the cost of two check bags.
Interesting. We're going to cover more of this. Good to have you on this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. My pleasure. And we've got a lot more. Email address, ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com. Don't forget the other side of the radio show. We got the podcast coming up at 9 a.m. All of this coming up next right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
I-95 North 9B, a crash there. You'll see the cars on the right shoulder. 10 East at Lane Avenue. There's an accident there on the left lane, and traffic is trying to get back up to speed limit right now. And if you're at 295 South at Merrill Road, look out for an accident there this morning.
I'm Lo Dimes. President Trump and Chinese dignitaries signing the new trade deal today. Nancy Pelosi to hold a vote on impeachment articles. Those stories are next.
Albert Einstein once said the only way to predict the future is to look at the past. History proves financial markets have patterns. What goes up must eventually come down. Lou Dobbs here, and the market is up, higher than it's ever been in history. But it may not stay that high without an eventual adjustment. And if it comes down, stocks could tumble quickly. Don't wait to protect your money until it's too late. Your entire retirement portfolio could be at risk in one day. My advice? Visit goldirakit.com. And learn how GoldCo feels you can protect and secure your retirement savings now. Get a free Gold IRA kit from GoldCo by visiting goldirakit.com and fill out a simple form. The folks at GoldCo will help you set up a self-directed IRA that puts you in control of your money. Just call 855-815-GOLD or go to goldirakit.com today.
Top Beijing officials will gather at the White House for a ceremony to sign the Phase 1 of President Trump's new trade agreement with China, easing sanctions against China and stepping up the pace of China's purchases of American products. The president says he'll travel to China for the next round of negotiations. sometime after the election. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who has withheld articles of impeachment voted by the House last year, scheduled a vote to release them today, clearly timed to embarrass the president on the day of his solid victory on international trade. Just another low point in the speaker's classless war against President Trump. BlackRock CEO Lawrence Fink says he will put climate change at the center of future approaches to managing his clients' $7 trillion of capital. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern, on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click Plumber in Jacks.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
A mix of sun and clouds and warm weather today. The high 82 this evening, a few clouds, 63 the low, and right now it's 65 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
7:58, broadcasting live from the Sachs Media Group out of Tallahassee, Florida. We are set and ready to go. We got another hour. The state CFO, our guy, Jimmy P. Patronus, is going to be live in the studios at 8 a.m., one of my favorite guests. And this is always a hot-button issue because, well, I make it hot. But anyway, Scott Dudley with the League of Cities. He's the, I mean, with their titles, the lead lobbyist, whatever you want to call him. He's the man. Scott Dudley's going to join us. Roger, a big issue. Should local government have more power from a law they create, or if it's too liberal or conservative, does the state of Florida need to preempt those local laws? For example, if you want to have a home-based business in your garage, Airbnb, when it comes to the power lines, this is a fascinating debate. Who should have more control, local or state? You know me, this is a big itch fest when it comes to like charter schools. I love charter schools, but I don't think it should be approved by the state. I think it should be approved by your local government. And if you don't like the way things are done, you either vote them in or you vote them out. We are going to have this topic. This is a hot topic. This is all coming up next as we broadcast live from the Sachs Media Group out of Tallahassee, Florida. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio, WBOB.